اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Please recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. I look at the faces look a bit sleepy. So that sort of includes me as well. So please, so inshallah, hopefully the brothers will wake up. Please recite Allahu salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad ajjal farajahum. Yesterday we talked about this, some of the mindsets that we have that stops us from being able to carrying out this process of self-building that we go through. Okay, we should be going through during the month of Ramadan. Because we mentioned that in order for us to fulfill the purpose that we have, we need to go through that self-building process. Okay, that self-development process. Now, the mindset that we were discussing yesterday was reasoning and arguing. And this is a mindset that is negative in the sense that it stops us from being able to do that. Okay. It was the mindset of reasoning and arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we clearly know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established something for us, He's established that this is what I want from you in your life, then there is no room for us to argue and reason at that point. Okay? And we mentioned that this mentality comes from us wanting to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we want to obey Him. We want to be religious the way we want to be religious, right? And you look into our lives, you find that it's a very, very common concept in our lives, okay? But we're just going to mention a short story about an individual who was placed in a situation where most of us would act religious the way we want to act religious. He was placed in that situation, he didn't do that. Okay, and this story is about one of the companions of the Prophet salawatullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. It's about an individual, his name is Uwais Qarani. Many of you have probably heard his name before. Uwais was a young individual at the time of the Prophet, and he was very eager to go and do ziyarat of the Prophet of Allah. And we all know what the reward of doing ziyarat of our imams are, doing ziyarat of the Prophet is. So it's an act that, all of us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq of. All of us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the chance to just go and see the Prophet. And well, he lived a bit far away from where the Prophet was residing in Medina. The thing is that Uwais had a mother, he had an old mother, and his father had passed away. So he discusses the issue with his mother. He says that, I'm going to go and do ziyarat of the Prophet of Allah. I'm going to go see the Prophet. Right? Place yourself in that situation where you know that, you know, nowadays we don't live at the time of the Prophet, we don't live at the time of the Imams, right? We live at a time where the Imam, the Prophets, they have passed away. Now think of it, if they tell you that the Prophet is alive, it's, for example, a 5-hour drive. You have the chance to sit down and talk to the Prophet Allah if you only drive for 5 hours. And place yourself in that situation and see how eager you would be to go and see the Prophet of Allah. It's a very, very, it's something that any of us would give anything to do. So, he's in that situation. First, he discusses it with his mother. And the mother says that, I would love for you to do that, but I'm an old and lonely lady. And he gives him, and he and she gives him an amount of time in which he is able to go and do this. He's able to go and see the Prophet and come back. Okay, so his mother makes a condition with him. Okay, the condition is, if you come back by this time, it's okay. But I'm not pleased with you if you come back after this time. It's a very, very tough decision to make. Believe me, it's not a decision that we make on a daily, on a daily basis. No, it's a very tough decision to make. So, within that short period amount of time, he travels towards Medina. And he goes to see the Prophet of Allah. And obviously, traveling back then was not as easy as it is today. So he's going through a lot of trouble just to see the Prophet of Allah. And he gets there. And the tradition says that when he gets there and he knocks on the door of the house of the Prophet, the person that worked in the house of the Prophet comes and opens the door, the servants of the Prophet of Allah. He comes and opens the door. And so Uwais explains his situation. He says, I've come from a far away, and I've come to see the Prophet of Allah. Where's the Prophet of Allah? And the servant says that, unfortunately, you've come a bit late. The Prophet of Allah has gone on a trip, and he won't be back until such and such time. Now Uwais, not only was he very eager to see the Prophet of Allah, but he had traveled for a long time to see the Prophet of Allah. Now he's in that situation where a lot of us are sometimes in our lives. Where there's something, now this situation is a situation where he's stuck between something good and something more important. Okay? So he asks when the Prophet will come back, and the servant says that he'll come back at this time, but that time is too late. Why? Due to the condition that his mother had made with him. Due to the condition that the mother of Uwais had made with him. So now it's a very tough dilemma to deal with. And finally, what Uwais does is he waits, but then when he feels like, if I wait any longer, I'll get back too late to my mother, he leaves. He leaves Medina, and he never gets a chance to see the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he leaves and he goes back. And they say that when the Prophet of Allah came back to Medina, because he was on a trip, when he came back to Medina, he asked who was here. And they tell him, they say that a young individual was here. They ask, why? Why are you asking who was here? And he says that I can smell the scent of heaven coming towards me from Yemen. Because Uwais was from Yemen. He says, I can smell the scent of heaven coming towards me from Yemen. And it's interesting to know that Uwais never got to see the Prophet of Allah. That was his only chance. He never got to meet the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, Uwais, after the Prophet passed away, he was amongst the companions of Imam Ali salawatu Allah alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal faraj. He was amongst the companions of Imam Ali, and later on he was martyred in the battle of Siffin, fighting against Muawiyah. And when you look at a person's life like that, who's willing to make that right decision at the right time, you'll see that that right decision is going to have greater effects in his life later on. Okay, if a person is martyred, one thing that we've learned from our ulama is that if a person's martyred in the path of Allah, that is not a coincidence. It is not a coincidence by any means. If someone falls in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must have done something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that honor, has given him that status. So if you look at the life of Uwais Qarani, and you see that later on he becomes this person who's martyred in the army of Imam Ali salallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can be sure that it is his decisions that he's made before even reaching the battlefield that makes him that type of person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would choose to be martyred. There were many people in the army of Imam Ali salawatullahi alayhi. Many people, right? Not all of them were martyred. Not all of them were martyred. Some martyred those who were part of the army later on. Right? Look at the followers of the Prophet. The followers of the Prophet, many of them fighted alongside the Prophet. They fighted for the Prophet. Later on, when other tests were there, they weren't able to make the right decision. So the point we're trying to understand from the story of Uwais is that Uwais, he made the right decision early on in his life. When it comes to an issue that we might take very lightly, for example, the right of our parents. It might be the right of our children, doesn't make a difference. It's something that we might see as take very lightly. We might think that, oh, this is something we come across every day, right? I see my children every day, or I see my parents every day. But it's that decision that he makes before even becoming a part of the army that is going to lead to him becoming a person who will be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this story is an example of how we need to learn that if we're going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot obey Him according to our own mindsets. I'm going to obey you, but what takes precedence for me is what I think is important. Now, regardless of what that might be, sometimes it might be prayer in my mind, sometimes it might be something else, but what I'm going to take is what takes precedence in my mind. No, that's not how the followers of the Prophet and our Imams were. No, what they said was that I'm going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm going to, what takes precedence for me is what takes precedence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Doing ziyarat of the Prophet, it's a wonderful deed. Take a look at the traditions. Some say that your sins will totally be forgiven. Right? Person's 50 years old, he's been sinning his whole life. There's one ziyarat, it's forgiven? Yes, it's forgiven. But does that take precedence or what his mother says? Does he decide about that or no? He says, let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decide about that. So this was one example of what we were trying to mention yesterday, of how when it comes to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, there is no longer any room for us to reason and argue and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what to do. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you what to do, and as a servant, we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. We need to get used to that mindset. Please recite the salawat. Another mindset that we're going to discuss, inshallah, is a mindset of making excuses. And this is different from the one we explained yesterday. Making excuses means that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants this from us, we keep postponing it with the excuses that we make. Now, in our life, when we take a look at our lives and we take a look at the decisions we make in our lives, the excuses we make in our lives, we may not think that it has such a significant effect, having this mindset. We may think that, okay, you know, there was something I was supposed to do, I made an excuse and I didn't do it. It was wajib, I made an excuse and I didn't do it. Right? It doesn't seem to be that significant in our lives. But when you go through the history of Islam, you find that there were critical moments in which people had to take the right step, but because of this mindset, they didn't, and the effect it had was unbelievable. Okay, it was not simply one wajib being missed, one wajib being neglected. No, it had a significant effect on the whole Muslim society. Now there's a story, and this story is mentioned at the very beginning of the Quran. I remember when I was younger, my father, he used to, when he got back from work, he tried to spend as much time as he could and recite some of the verses of the Quran with us and try to get us to learn Quran, and stuff like that. And he would always mention to me, he would always mention to me, it's like, you know why there are so many stories of the Bani Israel in the Quran? And I said, why? He says, well, it's a message from God that although you think Bani Israel are terrible people, I'm telling you all of their stories because you're acting like Bani Israel. They're the Bani Israel, right? And whenever, you know, you ask any Muslim, first thing that comes to mind with the Bani Israel is something negative, regardless of what they can think of. It's something negative, right? But you need to pay attention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put these stories not in their own book, or not in the book of the Christians. He's put it in our book. That's a message. He's implying something, right? He's implying that, listen, you're the one that's acting like Bani Israel. So when we go through these stories, it's good to have this mindset that we're not just going through these stories because, oh yeah, Bani Israel did that. Such bad people, you know? Or, yeah, they didn't even listen to their prophets. Astaghfirullah, such bad people. That's the mindset. I mean, it's laughable, but when you look at our own lives, honestly, and every person should ask this question from themselves, when you look at our own lives, it is slightly like that, unfortunately. Now, this is one story in which the Bani Israel, it's mentioned in the very beginning of the Quran, in which the Bani Israel were continuing to make excuses. When it came to something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had clearly told them what to do about. The story starts, and this part isn't mentioned in the Quran, the story starts when there's a murder in one of the tribes. And what everyone is trying to figure out is who was the person that murdered the victim. So, and this is the audacity of the Bani Israel. They go to their prophet, they ask the prophet, O prophet, tell us what to do with this situation. They're the ones that are initiating this. They're asking the prophet of Allah, please tell us what to do about this situation. Right? It's not the prophet coming to them, it's them coming to the prophet. So they come to the prophet, and Prophet Musa talks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's a command. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Remember the time that Prophet Musa talked to his qawm, his people, and told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to slaughter a cow. Now look at the reaction. Now, remember, these were the people that went to the Prophet. Okay? First reaction they have. قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذْنَا هُزُوَا. What, are you kidding us? That's the reaction that Bani Israel had. Are you kidding us? Are you joking? What, are we going to slaughter a cow? How is that going to tell us who murdered who? And Prophet Musa was very, very patient with these individuals. You know, you go through history, all these stories, Prophet Musa was very patient. قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. No, why would I be kidding you? Why, I'm not an ignorant individual to just say things with no meaning. This is where the excuses started. And you know, this story, it's famous with the, in the Iranian culture, they call it, Gavi Bani Israel. Right, we have any Iranians? Yes. One? No? Yeah, so they call it Gavi Bani Israel. Right, it's known for making excuses. It's like a saying amongst us. Right? This is when they started making like excuses. So what did the Prophet say? The Prophet said, slaughter a cow. Okay, they said, قَالَ دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكْ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَاهِ. Go talk to your God, which is a very disrespectful thing to say when that God is your God too. Okay? Go talk to that God of yours. يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَاهِ. Tell him to explain to us what this cow is. What does he mean by this cow? Now, no one's there to just say, listen, just slaughter a cow. Okay. قَالَ دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. So Prophet Musa goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and comes back and says, قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَغَرَةٌ لَا فَارِضٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكٌ He goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it more difficult for them. You're making excuses? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make it a bit more difficult. He says, now it's not any cow. Not just any cow. It's a cow that's not too old, it's not too young. Okay, now you have to find a cow like that. فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ Just do what you're being commanded to do. Okay, don't make any more excuses. فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ Do it. Once again, قَالُوا دُعَ لَنَا رَبَّكَ Go talk to your God. يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا Go tell him to explain for us what's his color. What color is this cow? Is it just any cow? Well, we got the age, but we need to know what color it is. So once again, Prophet Musa being very patient in this situation, he talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a revelation. إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ صَفْرَاء فَاقِعٌ لَوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ It's yellow. How on earth are you going to find a cow that color? Safra means yellow. فَاقِعٌ لَوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ When people see it, because of the color, they become happy. They have joy simply because of the color of that cow. Now it's a lot more difficult. It's 10 times more difficult. You go search the whole United States, you're not going to find a cow like this, right? فَاقِعٌ لَوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ And you and I would think that, dude, it's difficult enough, you know? They're not going to go any further than this. But once again, قَالُوا دُعَ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ Go talk to that God of yours and tell him to explain what this cow is exactly. إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا You know what tashabaha means? Tashabaha means when you mistake something for something else. Say that it's not clear to us what exactly, which cow exactly does he want. وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ And if God wants, inshallah, we will understand what he wants from us. We haven't understood what he wants from us up until now. Inshallah, if God... This sounds like a lot of what we say. Inshallah, if God explains to us, you know, if he's open with us, we'll understand what he wants from us, inshallah. For the last time, Prophet Musa goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and comes back with this command. لَا ذَلُولٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَا تَسْقِ الْحَرْثِ It's a cow that does not work for farms. It does not bring water for the farms and it's not used for the land in the farm. مُسَلَّمَةٌ لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا There is no other color in it. It's a solid color. After all of this and making it a lot more difficult for themselves, then they turn around to the Prophet of Allah and they say what? قَالُوا الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَاقِ Finally, you told us what we're supposed to do. قَالُوا الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَقِّ Now what you said was true, is a true thing. Why don't you just tell us from the beginning? فَذَبَحُوهَا Finally, they slaughtered that animal. Please recite a salawat for Bani Israel. Allahumma sallana Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Finally, they actually slaughtered the cow. And the story goes on as to how they figured out who murdered who. But the last part of the verse is very interesting. It says, فَذَبَحُوهَا They slaughtered the cow. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ Even that stage, it was like as if they were almost not even going to do it, even at that stage. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ It's as if they weren't even going to do it, even after all of these excuses. And just so we know the story, they cut the cow into different pieces and they took one of the pieces of the cow's body and they touched the body of the individual who was murdered. And he came to life and he told them who had murdered him. And then they figured who the murderer was. Now, just one point about this story, and we'll end inshallah, is that as you see all of this going on, like this is a story that is a number of tribes of Bani Israel are involved in. The Prophet of Allah is involved in it. Right? All of this is going on, and this cow, now, because the conditions that were mentioned with the, for the cow were very, very specific now. Right? So there was only one cow that had these conditions. And they say that that cow belonged to a young individual. It's not an old man, it was a young individual. And they say that this young individual, the way he had, these are traditions from the Ahlul Bayt, they say that the way he had attained this cow was that he worked for his father. And one day, one person came to buy something from him and his father, from the business, so to speak, that they ran, right? And this person came and said that, I need this, whatever they were selling, for example, rice or whatever they were selling, I need this rice right now. Okay, and I'm willing to pay a really good price for it. But I need it right now. If you can get me the rice right now, then we'll have a great deal, and you know that you'll make a lot of profit. So this young individual is in that situation where he has to decide. The thing is, his father was asleep. His father was asleep, and the keys to their storage, so to speak, was with the father. So he's stuck in a situation where he can wake up his father, he can wake his father and get the keys and make the deal work, or he can forget about that and just, you know, live his miserable life without the money. And what this young individual does is that he says that, you know what, I mean, I know the deal that you're giving me is a great deal, but my father's asleep. And I'd rather not wake him for something like this. So the father, when he wakes up, he tells him what happened and everything. The father gives him this cow. He says, because of what you did, even though I can't do much for you, but you can have this cow. Who would ever know that a while later, all of Bani Israel will be looking for a cow like that? Who would know that the only cow that this young individual had was the only cow that Bani Israel were looking for? And history says that they bought it for a very, very high amount. So it's when you look at the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on one hand, He's testing Bani Israel. On the other hand, He's rewarding someone else. Every single event that takes place in our life is just like that. One thing that happens, it affects 10 people in 10 different ways. But every single person that was affected, he was affected for a reason. He was affected for something he did, some decision he made, some intention that he had. So, the one point that we're trying to make clear tonight was this mindset of making excuses when it comes to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly asked us for, that we need to get rid of. Or else, we will be like the Bani Israel, and no one here would ever want that, right? If that's correct, please recite aloud salawat. We pray that inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us be amongst the true followers of our 12th Imam. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens the return of our 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi. And I don't hear anyone saying Ameen. That's better. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless they don't agree with my prayers, I don't know. But we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees our brothers and sisters around the world and helps us take the steps that we can helps us take the steps that we can in order to help them. A part of it is praying for them. Another part of it is actually taking the steps that we can to help their situation. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, teaches us what we can do for them, and also gives us the tawfiq, the chance to actually take those steps for them. Please recite the salawat.